back with you. It's good to have my wife with me again. I always enjoy cuddling up to her instead of some old pillow, you know. And so it's always good to have her travel with me. We're out visiting churches. It's good to come back and hear good reports of what's been going on here at Orlando Bible Church. And we want to just take a moment and thank you for your prayers for Carolyn and me, and also for the ministry there on the island of Palawan. God has been doing some wonderful things there, and I want to share those with you this morning. We're going to kind of have a show and tell here this morning to kind of give you an idea of where we're located and some of our mission outreaches, so you can more effectively pray for us, because the Lord is doing a work among the Muslims there on the island of Palawan, which we're so thankful for. And so I trust will be, and what we share today will be an encouragement to you. Let's take our Bibles. Let's go to Acts chapter 14. I'm going to read three verses here. Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, verses 26 through 28 says, "And then sailed to Antioch, from which they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled." It says, "And when they were come," and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. So after Paul and Barnabas finished their first missionary journey, they went back to the church at Antioch, and they gave a report to the church of all that God had done on that first missionary journey that Paul and Barnabas took. And they rehearsed with the church there how that the word of God moved out with power, but there was also great opposition against that, as we know, down in Cyprus. And then when Paul got up into Lystra and Iconium, how he was stoned and left for dead, and for the preaching of the gospel. Paul just went there like the Lord Jesus Christ to give good news to men and women and children that are fallen into sin. So he took good news to them, and he got stoned for it. So just because we're saved and because we have the gospel doesn't mean we're not going to be opposed. It doesn't mean that everybody's going to open their arms and say, "Man, we've been waiting on you for hundreds of years, and you're just now getting here." Sometimes that happens, but a lot of times that's not the way it is. Because the devil's out there, and he's fighting against the Lord. It's not our battle, it's his battle. And we're thankful that we can lay all of our trials and burdens upon him, and he takes care of them, and he leads and guides us so we can preach the gospel, so people can hear and become saved. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we need to be faithful in doing that. And even though it may cause us trials and hardships and disappointments and whatever, we still got to move forward with the message of the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, how he came and he died for our sins. Men need to know that they're sinners, and need to know that Christ died for their sin. He shed his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. So we have a powerful message. And the Spirit of God goes before us. He prepares hearts of people that we're going to be speaking to. We've never seen them before. We've never met them before. But we can go assured that the Spirit has gone on before us to prepare our way. And that's what is involved in the Great Commission there in Matthew chapter 28. "Lo, I'm with you always." He's always leading us to people who are seeking and people who need to hear how to become saved. And we've seen the Lord do a great work there on the island of Palawan. 33 years ago, we started the work in Brooks Point with just two families, the Cyrils. There were five of us, and Malakows, there were six of them. So we had 11 to start out with. We met in a little Nipa hut. Pastor Joe's had grass ceilings and split bamboo floors, and We got in there and on a Wednesday night and began to teach the book of Ephesians. And from that point on, we went out into the town of Brooks Point, began talking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ, and many got saved in the last 33 years. And we're going to show you that in the morning service here. But what I want to do this morning is, my wife and I, we just got back from the Philippines. I go back every year, and we hold a Bible conference, and we meet with as many churches as we can. We now have the church in Brooks Point, and then we have 9 outreaches now. And we have our works are among the Muslims, among the Palawano tribes, and also the people that live in the towns. So the Lord is spreading us out, because our goal and our prayer is to reach southern Palawan from Puerto Princesa all the way down there to Balabac with the gospel. Now this area from Puerto Princesa down is the most unevangelized and most remote area on Palawan. We still have a lot of tribal works up in these areas that as far as I know, there's nothing going on among them. And Palawan itself is only about 250 miles long and averages about 50 miles across. So it's not all that big. But there's a mountain range that runs right down the middle of the island, and it makes it very hard to get up into these areas with the gospel to some of these tribal people. I think I've been coming here. Pastor Thomas had me come. How many years ago, Pastor Thomas? Do you remember?
No.
I can't either. See what happens. You get. It's been more than 1 year, okay? And less than 100, so somewhere in between there. But over the time that I've been coming back, I always bring a presentation to you. And over those years, you've seen the work in Palawan continue to grow. Amen. The Lord is at work there among the believers there in the town of Brooks Point. If you come with me to the Philippines sometime and visit the works there, we're going to arrive at Puerto Princesa, which is the capital of Palawan. We're going to take a van down to Brooks Point. It takes 3.5 to 4 hours. But we're going to come out of Manila to get down to Puerto Princesa. So Brooks Point is the hub of it all. It's where it started 33 years ago. Now, as I said, we have 9 outreaches from Brooks Point. Last year while we were there, we held a Bible conference in Brooks Point Bible Church, and we were able to visit one of our works down here, Sarmignana. This church here is getting close to becoming indigenous. We have a young man by the name of Ken Javier, and he's wanting to get married, and he'll probably become the pastor of the work there, along with another man. There's something about our young men in the Philippines. When it comes to marriage, there's just something they don't understand. You know, it's okay to get married. There's nothing wrong with that. And so we're now starting to see a little movement among our men. We've got 2 men and young ladies in the Church of Brooks Point that's going to get married here in the near future. And that helps us, because then we can make them, you know, elders and deacons of the church. And so the Lord is moving in favor of us. So we have a work down here at Sarmignana. And then down here is Sarai, Mount Sarai, where the airplane crash took place up here in the mountain. By the way, this is Pastor Joe and his wife Faye and me and my wife. They're in front of the new church building. This is some Palawano tribes up in the mountains. After we finished our first our translation, we took it up to them, and they had a copy of that. Down here, you may not be able to see it, but up here in this mountain, way up in here, is where it had the plane crash. And, of course, we know what happened now, the plane crash, is how Brooks Point Bible Church got started. So we go down to Mount Sarai, and here's a Muslim town right here called Bactarasa. Very, very strong Muslim. And we've tried to start a work in that town for many years now. But for some reason, the Lord just is not ready to open the door for us to do that. Now, Pastor Joe is very burdened about that town. He wants to go there sometime and begin a work there. But Pastor Joe is 70 years old. He's had a stroke. And so there's some things that's hindering him from doing that. So pray for Bactarasa, the little town right here. Then on down further south, we have our town called Sarong. That's where Brother Garrito is. And that's a Muslim area, and I told you before, Brother Garrito has converted Muslim witch doctor. And after Brother Garrido got saved, he began to be persecuted for his faith in Christ. His family separated from him. They would come to him and want him to do chants over them and to pay him, and he wouldn't do it. And after a while, he gave up all his amulets. He burned them. He turned away from all of that practice. Now, he and another man from Brooks Point Bible Church are working there in Sarong. And we're just now starting, after 8 years, starting to see some people get saved there. So it's been a very hard work among the Muslims. But because of his consistent testimony, and he will not compromise. But he keeps giving his people there in that village the gospel. A couple years ago, while we were there, we were able to go down into Sarong, and we went through the village of Sarong, and we passed out a lot of material to the people to read concerning the gospel. Last time before last, we went to go down, and we got there's a. Before we left, the mayor, who is a Christian in Brooks Point, came to us, her workers did, and say, told us not to go down into Sarong because there are strange faces down there. Abu Sayyaf works in this area right here. So it's a very hostile area. And so we didn't go down. We took her advice because she said she couldn't promise us any protection. So we stayed out of that area. And so last year while we were there, we were scheduled to go down on a Tuesday, I think it was. The day before that, it had rained real hard. And the worker from Sarong came up and said, hey, you better wait till the next day so the roads can clear up so that they're passable and you can get down to Sarong. So we did that, and we found out the day that we were supposed to be down in Sarong, they had an ambush and two men were killed. So the Lord's in control, isn't he? We just need to not force the issue, but wait upon him to open the doors for us to get down in here and to encourage Brother Garrido. And my wife is in the process now of writing some mission stories and also writing a book. And Brother Garrido, he's one of our key characters in that. He has a tremendous testimony, and the things that he has gone through and his old practices, and he showed us how he would chant and he would dance and do all these things. It's quite a story on him. But man, he is such a faithful servant of the Lord today. And then on the backside, we have a little up here in the foothills of the mountains, we have a work called Tabud. It started about 2 or 3 years ago. And it's starting to grow a little bit among the tribal people. We have Muchiga up in here. And the leader of that church, he died last year from being a diabetic. I was taking insulin to him every time I would go. I'd give him a year's supply of insulin. A doctor in Charleston supplied that for him. We kept him alive for, I think, 5, 6, 7 years. And finally, he died last year. But the work continues on. We have two young men there being trained for the ministry there. And then we have work up in the mountains called Kabangaan. They just celebrated their 13th anniversary. And we now, one of the young men in our church in Brooks Point had gone to Bible school. He's back now, and we commissioned him last year, last November, he and his wife, and they're now full-time missionaries at Kabangaan. And it's amazing their continual attendance there and living there with them, what the Lord has been doing. The church now has grown to the place where they have to build on. They have to build a Sunday school room. Now, we're not talking about rooms like this, okay? We're just talking about poles and the grass roof, something to get in out of the rain or out of the sun so they can meet, you know, on Sunday mornings and do different activities there. So this work up at Kabangaan has really taken off. But then just right north of it, further up in the mountains, we have a work called Tatundian. That work is independent. We commissioned those elders maybe 2 or 3 years ago, or maybe longer than that, but they're independent. We have great fellowship with them. We have a school up there where we can, the children in the mountains are being learning how to read and write and do those things. And we also have extension of our Bible school out of Brooks Point Bible Church up here. And Raniel, our missionary of Kabayan, heads that up. So we have a continual training program for our men and even our families going on at all time that we never had before. And as a result of that, we're seeing a great propagating of the gospel. People being trained, more knowledgeable, being able to handle the Word of God. I was talking last night on the radio, the greatest need we have right now is for the people to have a copy of God's Word in their hand. As you know, we're doing a Bible, we did a Bible translation of the New Testament, but now we're in the process of revising it. And while we were there last year, I met with the translators, watched them work. They explained to me what was going on as they used the TR text and the Greek and stuff. And it just overwhelmed me. Just the clarity of from the first translation to this first revision. It reads smoother. Nothing's been changed. It's just been... Like in English, we say, the dog ran up the hill. Well, in Tagalog, they're going to say the same thing, but they don't say it that way. They're going to say, ran the dog. Up the hill, ran the dog. They're going to say it just backwards from what we do. But the same meaning's there. But when a Filipino picks up his Bible and it reads exactly the way that he has been taught to read and how he understands, it speaks to their hearts. But when we try to give it to them the way that we speak, it just doesn't connect like it does giving it to them in their own language. And there's a lot of trials for these new believers up in these mountain churches here without the Word of God and without someone there permanently to continually to teach them and to encourage them. There's a tendency for some of them to revert back to their old ways. A lot of these tribal people up in these mountain areas, they're animists. They're spiritists. They have ancestor worship. They worship trees. They worship the rocks. And that's what they've had their faith in and their trust in for years. So now we come along with the gospel. They get saved. We praise God for that. But just going back once a week is just a slow process for them to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And we don't have anything to leave with them in their language so they can grow like we can by opening their Bible, by reading it. And by reading it, it leads you into prayer and it leads you into worship. So a lot of things, I don't know about you, but my wife tells me a lot of things, but you know, I only remember that much. I think sometimes I have selective hearing. I only hear what I want to hear. And so they battle that. But we are trying to be more consistent in getting steady workers up there that can handle the Word and keep them encouraged so they don't fall back or revert back to their old ways. There's a great tendency for that. Amen. So we're thankful for what all is going on up in there. And then up here in Rizal, some years ago, we made a survey trip up there with Roniel's aunt. And we wanted to start a work up there, but it didn't work out for us to be able to send somebody up there to Rizal. And after the first year, no one went up. And finally, we received a letter from her because she wasn't sure she wanted us up there or not. So we kind of backed off, and after a year, she wrote a letter to us and said, do we have to die before you send someone here to teach us the gospel? Now, that's heart-searching, isn't it?
Time to go.
Pardon?
Time to go.
Yep. So, by God's grace, okay, the man up here in Kabangaan, after we get the work established there, then he and his wife are going to move up to Rizal and work with his aunt and his relatives in establishing a church there in K-Zone. So we can, a lot of opportunities are coming to us to come and teach the Word of God, and people are getting saved, but it takes bodies. And we're thankful for what the Lord is doing there in Brooks Point. Last year, we started our Bible school, which is a tremendous help to us and to the local church and to the outreaches. Now we have 47 students that are in training right now through the Bible school. either for the missionary work or for being a pastor, becoming pastors. And so it's going to take a little more time for us to get them trained, but when they do, then we're going to have a great force to send out into some of these areas, because these are rough areas down in here. There's an area right here called Tres Maria, the Three Marys. And the report that's been given to us, there are a lot of tribal... I used to fly all over this area. As I fly over this mountain region, you look right down on the top of these mountains and you see these little villages, maybe five or six Nipa huts. And so there's five or six little families in there, but you don't see any trails going in, any trails going out. And there's no way you're going to land an airplane in there. And the only way to get up to them is to walk. But to do that, you're going to have to take your supplies with you. There's just a lot of things you're going to have to take to support yourself in order to go up there and reach them with the gospel. We had a 5 or 7 man team go up into this area a couple, 3 years ago. I think they were up there 5 days. And they, you just run out of supplies. But they were able to reach tribes that had never heard the gospel before. And so it's a hard work, but we are told about these people down in this area. It's been reported now. I'll just share what's been said. I haven't seen them yet. But some of them look like they have tails on them. So I don't know if it's from the inner close relationships they're having. I don't know. But I just know this, that there are souls up and down this mountain ridge and on the backside, the west side, that have never heard the gospel. So that's our goal. That's our prayer. That's what we want you to come alongside us with. And you're doing that. And we're so thankful for that. The love gifts that you've been giving have been an encouragement to me and my wife and definitely to the work in the Philippines. You know, just $1 here in America equals 45 pesos in the Philippines. So we can do a lot with a dollar as far as furthering the gospel. Making sure that we have one group that that are in need of again, Bibles. We just don't have them right now. But by the grace of God, we're on schedule to have the New Testament done in August. But then it's got to be reviewed by the Read and Review Committee. Then it's got to go to print. So it probably wouldn't be ready till the first of 2017. But just pray about that, because we need them desperately. And our men are doing a great job. But just right up in this area, right in here, we started a new work at a place called Tube Tube. If you look at it in English, it's Tub Tub. But it's Tube Tube in Tagalog. And I forget the story now, all of it. But anyway, this is where this little Muslim work is. And the wife of the chief there, this of Tube Tube, made contact with Faye and Joe. Or Jethro, Pastor Jethro, and there was an agreement to allow Jethro to come up and hold a Bible study with them. So he took advantage of that, went into the tribe, and it's a good-sized tribe. And he went in and held a Bible study and then asked them if we could come back every Sunday afternoon, you know, and have a service with them. So when we were there the last time, we got to visit Tube Tube. And it was a real blessing. It takes a little while. It's a pretty rugged area to get up into. But when we got into the village, there was a Nipa hut over here was full of parents, moms and dads. Behind there was some banana trees where the teenage girls being taught by one of our teenage girls out of the Bible school. And over here were the men under the coconut trees being taught by the young men out of the Bible school. And then in this other Nipa hut, it was just packed full of kids. They were in there having a great time singing, you know, the choruses and stuff. And then you can hear them teach the Word of God and how the kids respond. It was just tremendous, really. Just to hear the Word of God echo throughout that region. And there were kids on the outside, you know, they're singing, going through the motions and everything. It was just thrilling to be there. And it just so happened we are able to send a box, maybe half the size of the table here, over to the Philippines. We can ship it over, and it costs $100. And you can put anything in that you want. weight is no problem. And so we sent four boxes over, and just so happened that one of our boxes arrived in Brooks Point while we were there, so they took that box up to Tup Tup. And it was full of children's clothes, shoes, little nighty things for the babies, and even some stuff for the men. But if you do that, you can't send anything over. You can't, if it's over small, it's too big. So if we send a big shirt, it covers four of them. But anyway, while we were there, they took that box, they emptied it out and laid it all out for the people to come and get some clothing. So after the meetings were done, I was talking to the chief there, and they were all excited. They all had their eyes on some shoes and some different little dresses and nightgowns and things. And so we had the mothers come up with the babies, and they would just kind of pick through. They're very humble. But then after they were assured it's okay to go ahead and get something for your child, then they got kind of greedy. Instead of one, they wanted two, they wanted three. So we kind of had to balance that out. But everybody got something. And I'll show that to you here on the DVD. But there was one little girl. She saw a pink and black dress. Had little frillies on it. I don't know how old she was, but she reached up and she got a hold of that. And she just caressed it, held it to her chest, and somebody wanted it. Boy, she wasn't going to let loose of that thing. And so they were just as, and we had some shoes, our grandson's shoes, we saw his tennis shoes, and were given to him, and they were just delighted. And it's just opened the door a little more for us to be able to go back. And so after we left, came home, Pastor Jethro went in and asked if they could hold a revival meeting in the village, and they said yes. The Muslim chieftain said yes. So they went back and they held a meeting, and the gospel was given, and quite a few people made professions of faith, but the chieftain, the Muslim, he came forth and received Christ as his Savior. And now they're serving the Lord there. They're waiting for our people to come every Sunday. We just built them a place where they can meet now, out of the sun and out of the rain and everything. And so the work is, but they're being opposed, as telling Pastor Thomas, by the other Muslims in this village. So that's normal. We expect that. But God's going to make them strong through those trials and going to strengthen their faith as they stand and live for Him. So we're looking forward to what the Lord's going to do in this village, because this is really a stepping stone up into this area here where there are other Muslims up in the top of the mountain and even on the backside of it. So we can see how the Lord is answering our prayer. Right now He's kind of got us located in this area, but we've got a lot of work to do up here on the backside and down in this area and down in Balubbuk. And not many people want to go there. It's hard. A lot of malaria, a lot of TB, a lot of all kind of different things that we're not used to back here. But you know what? Our people that's being trained in our Bible school, you know, they were born in that environment. I'm telling you, they can handle it better than I can. And so the Lord's good to us. The Bible school is up and running. We also started our radio ministry. We've been given an hour and a half every Sunday morning at prime time. And so we take advantage of that. I was able to speak on it while I was there. And then we also have a deaf ministry that we started in our local church. Some deaf people... people who worked with the deaf brought them to the church, and now they're coming, and so we got that going for us. What else we have going on, Carol? You can help me. So anyway, but anyway, the church just keeps expanding and expanding. And then just before we came down here, Sister Faye, Pastor Joe's wife, she'd been wanting to witness to the town banker in Brooks Point. And she asked her, said, Millie, I'd like to have a Bible study with you sometime. Would you have time to do that? Millie said, no, I don't have time to do that. But you can have Bible studies with my workers. And so Faye said, well, I'll just wait until you're ready. And so a lot of time has gone by. And now Faye just left to go to Manila to a workshop we have going on with our revision. Then they'll be going on to Israel, then back to do another workshop and be back down about mid-April. So Millie went to Faye's house to get her, to tell her she'd like for Faye to start a Bible study with her. But she wasn't there. So she texted her in Manila. And Faye gave her the story. We know what's going on, when she'll be back, and that they're going to get together. And so here we've been praying for these people for years. And now here's this banker lady coming to us so that we can help her through the teaching of God's Word. It's just amazing. I don't see a whole lot of that going on here. But there's just things. You get off into a different country. Pastor Thomas can testify to this. It's just different. People are open. You know, one of the greatest needs I think we need in the Christian life is that we need to learn how to listen. Sometimes we're not listening to the voice of God. We're so involved in busyness, activities, and a lot of them are justified. Don't get me wrong, but sometimes we're not listening to the voice of God, nor the Spirit of God, nor the Word of God. And it's really hurting us spiritually. But a lot of those people were saying that they seem to have ears to hear. And what an opportunity that is. Our young people, I see young people here, and it's great to see that. Our young people are very involved in our local church. We teach them how to serve, how to minister, how to hold backyard Bible clubs and to witness. And they're very involved. They're ushering, and I'll show you tonight, while we were there, we're taking up a special offering for a church bus. All these outreaches that we go to are pretty good distance away from Brooks Point. And we used to have an old jeepney, but it gave up the ghost. And so we don't have any way to get our people and the materials that they need to take with them to teach Bible Club. So some of these outreaches are on motorcycles, hanging off of them and everything else, trying to get everything out there. And so we need a church bus. So we began we were there to take up a special offering. And our young people will be doing that. You'll see them in the DVD tonight. And I think we got over 100,000 pesos came in. But that sounds like a lot. But the church bus is going to cost 1.3 million pesos. So 100,000, you know, isn't very much. But it's the beginning. But the people are excited. They're praying. They're giving. Our young people are such an encouragement. They got a servant's heart. They love the Lord. They like going out to Bible club and teaching the kids and getting involved and active with them. And they're involved in our choir and in our ministries like that. And it's just a blessing to see them grow up around the things of the Lord. And our church leadership and men and women encourage them so much, you know, to do that and to stay faithful to the Lord. And I said the revision is going on. We have two men that came out of Manila, Pastor Nell and Pastor Etchon, are helping Sister Faye. And we got a continual sessions going on, so it's finally getting completed. So we're excited about that. And so the work just continues to grow. And we're so thankful for that. Because many people need to be reached with the gospel. Brother Thomas.
Pastor, can you show us where Manila is in relationship to Brooks Point?
Okay. Here's Brooks Point, right here. Manila, you go way over here. That's where it is. Manila's northeast, way up in the northeast. We're 600.
How far?
About 650 miles.
Thank you.
So if you come out of Manila, you come down into Puerto Princesa.
How many islands in the Philippines?
To the Philippines?
No, in the Philippines, how many islands?
1,270?
Wow.
No, 1,700. I forget.
7,000.
I'm sorry. 7,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. There were 7,000. I think it's 7,017.
Wow.
But only 1,200 of them are inhabited. So if you want your own little island, people, let me know. I can help you. And they're beautiful. And so if any young people want to say, I want to be on my own, come and see me. I'll guarantee you, you'll be on your own. So there's still a lot of areas that people they're not there, but they're, you know, there are 7,000 islands there on the island. Okay, any other questions?
You mentioned the persecution of Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
How about other there in Palau,
mm-hmm.
other false religions besides, of course, demon worship and idol worship and mm-hmm. things of that nature, spiritism and that? Any other Catholicism, mm-hmm. anything there like that?
In town at Brooks Point, when we first went there, I think there was like 6 churches, 8 at the most. Now I'm told there's over 30 churches. We have a group called the Iglesia Ni Cristo, the Church of Christ, different than in America. They're militant. We've had some of them, when we were there, come to our service. For the sole purpose is to cause ruckus and cause a fight to disrupt our services. We've had some of their people wait for our people outside the church to cause fights. So they're very militant. But they buy people. They'll give you a job. They'll give you a salary. They'll take care of you. And that means they control you. But once you get with them, you don't get out. And so they control that way. But they're a good size work in Brooks Point right now under opposition to us. Carolyn. Yeah, the Roman Catholics are very strong, of course. They're in the Philippines. Yeah. Back in the beginning, we had some of the Catholics come to church, and the priest said, if you go there, we'll put a curse on you, or you'll get sick, or whatever. And sure enough, they would come, enjoy the service, and before the next Sunday, they'd be sick on their dog. And so they felt that what the priest said was true, so some of them didn't come back, but some did. So we're thankful for that. So we also have the cults like you have here. And yes, ma'am. Yeah. Yeah. In our province called Espinola, is where Brooks Point is. I think last I heard there's like 150,000, 200,000 people. But that's covering a big, big area. Okay. Now in Puerto Princesa, there's almost 1 million people in Puerto Princesa. Yeah. So there's. But all the way down through here, there's one road that comes out of here. You see it here. They're little barrios, these little burbs, we call them. And so there's. But they don't really know. They can't. They've never been up in here to take a census. They're not going there. Yeah, they're not going up there. So they don't really know how many. But the big towns, now our radio ministry that we have, it covers Brooks Point, covers Riotuba, Quezon, and Puerto Princesa, and a place in here called Nara. So it covers a pretty good area of southern Palawan. Brother Thomas. Pastor Thomas.
Google says 100 million people in the Philippines.
In the Philippines? The whole place? Yeah.
What did you say, 30?
Well, that's just...
Oh, gotcha.
Just one city. That was for all.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But you go up and down the main highway, and you're going to see a lot of Iglesia Ni Cristo. You're going to see a lot of Catholic. And those are probably about the two largest as you'll see going up and down the road. There are others, like there's some Methodists there. There's some Lutherans there. There's some Pentecostals there. There's some way, way, way backslidden Baptists there. So we have some I've never even heard of before that have come in. Church of God, they're all there. So. So we do thank you for standing with us. You don't know how much that means to us. And the things I'm going to show you this morning, I trust, a real encouragement to you as you see how the Lord is at work and He's building His church there. And here's the interesting thing. Out of all the Philippines, this is probably the most remote area. Here's how God works. In this little town of Brooks Point is where the translation started. It didn't start in Manila, the capital. It didn't start up in Baguio at the Military Institute, but it started in a remote area. You go to Manila, and people ask you, where are you from? They say, Brooks Point. Most of them don't have any idea where it is. Like Pastor Joe used to say, Brooks Point is not the end of the world, but you can see it from there. So that's where we're located. But that's where God chose to start translating His Word into the Filipino language. And now we have a work up in way up in northern Luzon, up the northern tip of the Philippines, a place called Ligali. Big work up there. We have 150 churches. We sent a copy of our revision to them. The senior pastor looked at it and he said, he scrutinized it, turned it inside upside down. He said, this is what we want. And so they're waiting for the translation, I mean the revision to be finished also. So you know what? You may feel like you're insignificant, but you're not. You're a child of God. And can God use you? Maybe someday you might have get an opportunity to have an experience like this. You know, a lot of times we say, Lord, can you use me? You know what we ought to be saying? Lord, why can I not go? You saved me. You bought me. I belong to you. So why can I not go and serve you? Amen. And if the Lord closes that door, then hey, put it to rest. You don't have to worry about it anymore. But I think there's just too many people just not willing to commit themselves to that point in their Christian life. But I tell you, we're missing the blessing if we don't. What time we quit, Pastor, right now? 10 minutes ago. Okay. I was telling somebody that when I preach, I used to pastor. If I quit preaching 5 minutes before I usually do, I stand in the back and everybody come out and say, hey, what a great message, Pastor. If I went over 5 minutes, they'd say, have a good day, Pastor. So I don't want to go over. Okay, Father, thank Thee for this time, for the privilege to just give a report as to who You are, what You're doing. And they're part of it. And I trust they'll feel that way. Because what they're doing through their prayers and their giving is helping us to be laborers together with Christ in propagating the gospel throughout this area that needs to hear of Christ. Thank You for allowing us to labor with Him in Christ's name. Amen.